Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up, it's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laughter's waiting, don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
It is a wild and wonderful Wednesday here in New York City. We're coming to you live from the Gas Digital Studios, and it's your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico. And thank you for tuning in to the Morning Zoo. I am absolutely teased and pickled and all those wonderful things because I have two great guests. One, a stalwart of the show. We have him all the time, and we absolutely love him. It is Doug Yerm. How you doing?
Hi, buddy. Great to be here.
Good to see you, buddy.
You in good health.
Thank you. I apologize. We were supposed to do a pre-tape yesterday. I canceled because I did not feel good. But thank you guys so much for being flexible with your schedules. And joining us for the first time, our new friend, Tori Cole. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Congratulations. You said it was your 10-year anniversary doing comedy. I wish you another 30, and I hope it's wonderful because you've been absolutely lovely. Let's get plugs right out of the way. Tori, what do you want people to check out?
Oh, I guess my Instagram. We all are desperate for followers and a career there. So it's at Tori Cole on Instagram. I feel like that's the way to find everything out. So
wonderful, Mr. Yerm.
Follow me on Instagram at the Doug Yerm. 731 Grove 34. Need people to come out to that one. Get your asses out there. 10 o'clock. I'm at the Pear every Thursday at 10 p.m. And August. What's the first Saturday in August?
Great question.
I'll be in Providence, New Jersey, doing a Next Stop show. Come out to that one as well.
Fantastic. If you're listening live, I'll be at the Punchline in Philadelphia this Friday evening with Rob Stant and Jim Gillespie. And the following day, I'm doing a private event, but I think you can possibly get in. It's at a dispensary in Philly, and I will be hanging out with ECW legend The Sandman doing his podcast. And then I got some other stuff I'll be announcing very soon, possibly some more Me and Crack dates and some other stuff I got cooking. And if you love the show, head on over to GasDigital.com today. Use my promo code ZOO. You get your episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored. You get the archives, thousands of episodes of all your favorite gas shows. You get the live chat, and you get our Friday bonus episode. We do three of these a week, and the only way to get the third one is to subscribe. But regardless of how you consume the show, thank you for tuning in. So I want to, in the interest of fairness, introduce a video to start off the show. So, Tori, just so you know, it's a lot of the way I picture this show is a parody of a Morning Zoo show. So we do the news, but it's kind of a weird, twisted take, and we watch dark videos, but we try and keep it super silly. And I've been doing a segment for a long time at this point called Indians versus Trains. And unfortunately, there are not a lot of safety regulations in India, and people can walk across train tracks pretty freely.
So much fun.
And it goes exactly how you think. Trains are doing real good.
Sounds like it.
But in the interest of fairness, so that I don't look like I'm biased, this is the first ever edition of Fat White Guy versus Train.
Oh, we're breaking tradition.
We're breaking tradition.
Son of a bitch.
And just so that you guys know that I am not biased in my head, this is Fat Guy versus Train. I think this almost happened to me on the LIRR recently.
Where is he trying to go?
He's trying to get in.
Oh, okay.
Can he not fit?
Ooh.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And
he needs a hard hat.
I think he had one on, right?
He had one.
Yeah.
And, yep, there goes his fractured spine
on
the train track.
But he wasn't getting hit by a train like you see in the
He did not need to get hit by a train. Yeah. He needed to get onto it for work.
Oh, dude, if you're too fat to climb the fucking train, I think it's time you get fired.
I will tell you, I took a train back from Poughkeepsie recently, and it was like not quite Poughkeepsie. It was like a middle station, and they brought out a plastic step stool to get onto the train.
For you.
No, for everyone.
Everyone.
Oh.
But literally, like, a shitty little, like, I was not confident in it.
That it was going to hold you up?
I see.
And the three ladies before me all fell off of it. They had four people shoving people onto the train with this thing.
She a roomy gal?
No, just regular lady, like, regular older ladies.
And they're just slipping off of the fucking
stool. It was the most dangerous. Like, the fact that they just don't have stairs there where the trains go.
How is that possible?
Something must have broke.
I would assume it was a temporary solution.
Yes.
But, I mean, it was shady.
Where was this again?
It was one stop after Poughkeepsie.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, it was like a middle station.
Yeah, yeah. They don't care. There's nobody ever there in those middle stations. It's always dark. It's always shitty.
There was no employees.
No, there's nobody there.
There's no people in the booth anymore.
Yeah.
And they closed off all the machines. So you have to buy your ticket on the app.
It's the government tracking.
I bought the wrong ticket.
They wouldn't know, though, would they?
Oh, no. They almost kicked me off the train.
They know when you get on the train. They know that you bought the wrong ticket.
And that's they when scanned it. And the guy's like, this is actually, you bought this from a different station. And I went, oh, okay, can I pay you the difference? And he goes, no, we don't take money. And I went, can I do anything? He's like, yeah, you're going to have to call customer service. And I had to go on call with with the train going in and out of tunnels. So there's no service. I had spent a half an hour on the phone. You know what made the difference?
What?
I had to pay an extra dollar off my credit card.
An extra dollar.
It was a dollar off.
And you had to call somebody and tell
them
that?
And be on hold for a half an hour while she figured it out.
Oh, my fucking God.
Do you think then he came back and he checked on you, or he was just
gone? He checked on me twice. Because twice he was like, hey, if you don't get this soon, I have to kick you off.
That's got to be like a top-down thing. Like, he's scared of a boss somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
He just wants to feed his family.
Why don't you just give him $10 and be like, let's just forget about the fucking dollar. Just shut the fuck up.
I think that's got to be
they're watched.
Every shitty job I've had where I'm mad at somebody, I always go, oh, they're terrified of fucking this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're taking it. Like, they're not mean. They're scared.
They're puppets.
So, like, this is a dumb one, but one of my first jobs getting out of high school, I worked at the movies. And at the end of the day, you know, go to the concession thing and throw everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And there were still hot dogs left.
Yeah.
And she goes, throw those out. And I go, okay. So I start eating a hot dog.
Yeah.
She comes back. She goes, you have to pay for that.
What?
And I went, it's garbage.
You're going to throw it out.
I was like, you're going to throw it out? She's like, yes. If it gets thrown out, it's garbage. But if you eat it, it comes out of your paycheck.
So what if you throw it out, then pull it out of the garbage and eat it? Technically,
no, she said, if I see you eat it even out of the garbage, I'm going to dock it from your paycheck.
What is this fucking bullshit? That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
But then I realized, I'm sure there's someone that let somebody do it and lost their job over it.
But that was before cameras were in movie theaters and shit like
that. No, this was like 2000, so I'm sure there was something.
That's fair.
I guess. I don't fucking eat a garbage hot dog.
How long did you work
with
this woman?
A couple months. I quit that one pretty quick. I robbed the theater a lot, and then I quit.
Yeah.
Smart.
I stole all the promotional materials for Snakes on a Plane.
Nice.
And then the last week I was there, they decided to teach me how to make the popcorn, which was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because I also was taking out the garbage. So I just made a trash bag full of popcorn, labeled it, hid it behind the theater, and had my friends go pick it up.
That's great.
It didn't get any sort of plastic taste to it?
No, it was just a regular, plastic. It was a regular trash bag.
Okay. If you leave it in there in the heat, maybe.
My trash bags are just very scented.
These were not that
industrial, big, giant black trash bags.
Yeah. And I just put an X on it with tape, and I threw it in the back, and my friends grabbed it like 10 minutes later.
That's awesome.
And oh boy, did we feast.
Yeah, that is a fucking, how are you not supposed to steal that stuff, though?
It was a bad job. You couldn't watch it. You couldn't, if they caught you sitting, that was like a fireable offense.
Jeez, you have padded mats at least? You know, like those, like where your knees aren't going to break?
Dude, it was a fucking nightmare. I remember one, my movie theater was so fucking shitty. Yeah. It was the, it's Secaucus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
the old Lowe's?
Yeah, yeah, the Lowe's, right?
Oh, my God.
One time there was a lady changing her baby on the bench outside of the theater, like a shitty diaper.
Oh, good.
And I told him, I was like, hey, that lady's like just changing a shitty baby. Should we say something? He goes, actually, we don't have a changing table in the women's room, so don't say anything to her because she will sue us.
Oh.
And the other thing people do is change their baby during the movie. Mm-hmm. And hide the diaper under the seat.
Oh, that's a good one. That's better than throwing the condom under the seat, I guess.
If you're fucking in the movies, you're not wearing a condom.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, what?
Well, I was very safe, Zach, when I was a young lad. So I for sure wore a condom even in the movie theater.
Never.
It might have been on backwards, but I remember I watched my friends fuck in the movie theater a few seats next to me.
Ew.
Yeah, it was great.
That's upsetting.
I was with one girl getting nothing, and I watch him just go into town, just blasting in an empty Cinema 23 in Verona.
Nice.
Yeah, before the corporates took it all over, and like you could just pass out drunk and sneak into the movies and nobody cared. Those were the most fun fucking times.
There was a dollar theater over by, you're going to know exactly where they played Indian movies sometimes. Yeah. It was right by, remember where Toys R Us was?
Of course, yeah.
There's a Sonic there now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
exactly.
Yeah. Right. Remember that exactly shitty dollar theater?
That's right.
We used to go get hammered and bring
just
girls
walk
there.
Right in. Yeah. It was dark. Nobody paid attention.
Oh, that there was some debauchery going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody, it was all second and third run movies, and it would be a dollar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was the dregs of society.
Dude, that was like the original, like before they had like dollar. Like if you didn't have any like motels that charge you by the half hour, you would take them to those shitty movie theaters and just go see a movie that nobody cared about and just bang one out right in there and then walk the fuck out of the movie theater.
You did that?
Yeah. It was only like $5 to get into the theater.
Yeah.
Before the corporates took it over.
By the way, that is the history of theater.
Yeah.
Because old vaudeville, the balcony used to be hookers.
Really?
That sounds about right.
And yeah, you would go, if you saw like burlesque, if you went to like certain seedy places, the balcony would be where the hookers hung out, and you would go get blown or jerked off.
Yeah.
And then leave. That was like the, almost like before cruising, when you still wanted to do it with,
yeah,
with a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like the spot. That was one of the reasons they were trying to clean up the theaters.
I see.
And that was when you really took a risk. Back then you'd see hookers with wigs on because they all had syphilis.
Like, yeah.
And it was just a white powdered wig on a bitch. And then it's just, that's how you knew, oh, this one's the one that you stay away from. She looks like George Washington.
She had wooden teeth.
She had lesions on her face. Her lips were melting.
Do you guys like history a lot?
What kind of history?
50-50.
I just like dudes love history. It's like in your DNA.
Oh, yeah. But it depends what kind.
Okay.
Now that we all know that history we were taught was a lie.
Yeah.
But, you know, that makes
like
it
what?
Even more interesting.
What was the biggest lie?
From anything between Pearl Harbor to the Gulf of Tonkin, you name it. It was all a lie.
Really?
Everything we know is just all horseshit.
In what way?
Well, the Gulf of Tonkin never happened.
Okay.
That was the Bay of Pigs was all bullshit too. That was based off of a lie, you know, planted by the CIA. That's what gave Kennedy that little topless limo ride there. Gulf of Tonkin, we were never attacked. There was never any confirmed attack by any Vietnamese at all. Pearl Harbor, they knew was going to happen. Some say 9/11 too. Pearl Harbor,
we probably had the intel that it was coming.
Yeah.
And that was just an excuse, like almost like, I dare you to hit me.
Yeah,
I see.
We could get into this
so
war
that we
and pull
could
ourselves
get
out of a depression. Go ahead, get
what
us involved.
What about the moon
landing?
Where are you guys at on that?
Oh, that wasn't real. I don't believe that happened.
I change my mind about it frequently.
Okay.
We haven't been there since.
I do struggle with the latest trip, just taking a lap around it. That's where I'm like, why don't we just go on it?
Yeah.
That's where I get a little. I don't want to say.
That's
we
the
did
thing. We haven't been there since. It was. I don't know.
Yeah, and the people that were supposedly there, very weird about it.
Yeah.
Like,
they never confirm really that they were. They're like, yeah, we were there.
Yeah, they're very odd about how they speak. Like, Buzz Aldrin's very quick to punch men in the face.
Yeah, remember he punched that fat slob in the fucking face, pressing him on an interview, and that old man just cold clocked him right in the mouth.
He went to my high school, I believe.
The fat dude that interviewed him? Or Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that the history of the Civil War is definitely candy-coated.
Yes.
Right. They were all drunk.
Good versus evil when it was not a war. I mean, the slavery thing was kind of a side dish.
Kind of a little bit about it.
And mostly it was about taxation and import-export.
Well, even the whole reason why the South went to war with the Union, and the South tried to get out of the Union multiple times before that happened. There was never any documentation that the South wanted to take over the North. They just wanted to leave. It had nothing to do with them even wanting anything to do with taking over the rest of the country. They just wanted to go. And they tried it about another four times before the Civil War broke out. And it's like, all right, so let's say that happens. The South does leave the Union. What that would have done to this country, its history in general, two broken up pieces of one fucking country would have been fucking wild. That would have, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. You would have had different states still having slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You would have had different taxation in the South than you would have in the Union because it's ruled over the U.S. government while they would have whatever horseshit they had to be set up. But that was the other lie we were taught about the Civil War, was that it was about the South wanted to take over the country and have it run by rebels. That wasn't true.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole idea of that it being overshadowed was like the North didn't care.
Yeah.
That was a small percentage of people.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's been turned into this war where we were freeing the slaves.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm learning so much.
Yeah,
I mean, this is also you're talking to two idiots.
That's true, too.
Please be aware
that
you sound well informed, though. I'll give you guys that.
Well, yeah, you watched. There was just a documentary that was put out about that, about the South trying to leave the North, trying to leave the Union four or five fucking times before the war broke out. So it's like, and the South also thought that the reason why that when the Declaration of Independence was signed, that you could leave at any time. And that wasn't the case.
My AP history teacher was Southern, and he told us that growing up in school, the Civil War was called the War of Northern Aggression.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's great.
And that's how it was taught. He learned the term Civil War later in life.
Fascinating.
Wow.
It sounds like one big misunderstanding.
It also sounds like everything we were hearing about the Europeans coming over here for the World Cup. They're like, I'm so sorry. We thought this place was a shithole. Everybody was shooting each other in the streets. It's like, no,
it's all right.
Pretty nice. Yeah, it's not bad.
All right. We got a bunch of other silly shit. But, Tori, I apologize. I do like to play some weird, gory stuff on here.
Let it rip.
And I saw one that really got me. This is a motel, I believe, in Dallas.
Mm.
And the manager of the hotel got into a tiff with one of the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the employee was offended because the manager sent someone to translate a message instead of talking to him directly. Have you seen what happened here?
No. Translate the message?
I guess they wanted him to... There was some issue with something with a washing machine, right, Shannon?
Yes. So he just wanted to let him know that the washing machine was broken, so to not use it. But he used a translator to do it, and he was pissed off that he didn't speak to him directly like a man. And then
this is the result of it.
Was there a language barrier? Well, we'll find out.
Please notice the rolling object.
Oh, that's fucking... Oh, my goodness. Wow.
What? That's not real.
How do you translate that?
That's not... It's a head?
He...
Yeah, it's certainly not a bowling ball.
Stabbed him to death with a machete, beheaded him in front of the staff and family, I believe, and then calmly walked away.
Wow. And did the ambulance not see?
No, they didn't notice yet.
That's the best part about this video. And he just climbs the fence. He goes, I don't know.
Wait, this is real?
This is my lunchbox. That's great.
I like that they're doing the math. They see the blood trail.
Like, huh.
Where'd he put the head?
In a garbage can behind that fence.
This is so sick. Oh, my God.
Can we watch the roll one more time?
Can we get a zoom in on the manager's face of his last expression? Like, was he just like, ah! That would tell you everything about what kind of person this was. Get zoom right in there.
This is real.
Yeah.
How is this not national news?
Shannon, you want to give us the...
It was. This happened about a year ago. They're just kind of like resurfacing this. So this did kind of like do the rounds already. But like the trial's still underway, obviously charging him with capital murder. I did read further along that they decided they're not going to go ahead with the death penalty. But yeah, it's still, really? Still underway. Yeah.
He probably got 36 months in house arrest.
I just watched a documentary on Netflix where a woman faked a pregnancy, then went to someone's home, cut her open, took the baby out of her, and continued to this lie of, oh, this is mine. And then they're like, no, we found the body.
Shannon and I watched as well.
Maternal Instinct?
Yep.
It really fucked me. I watched it alone. I work from home Mondays, and I just was like, this can't be real.
First of all, what a fucking moron that lady was to say that she was pregnant.
She was so unwell.
Had no fucking, none of the hormones, that pregnancy hormones in her body at all.
Like, she had a hysterectomy. That's the craziest part, too. So she quite literally couldn't get pregnant.
Oh.
The doctor, the local hospital was watching this all go down. They're like, well, when is this going to end? And then they even put the hospital like on lockdown to make sure she didn't come steal a baby. Mm-hmm. But they weren't looking in all the pregnant women's homes houses being like, well, she could just go there. So she sure did that.
She seemed like, obviously mentally ill is an understatement.
Yeah.
But it did seem like, and I think we've all met people that are sick all the time, or they always have some looming disaster or ailment or, you know, some tragedy afoot.
Yeah.
And then you find out maybe... There's a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah. Can we pull up a picture of that lady? The one that lied about her being pregnant?
And you feel bad for the dude because the dude just fucking was a sucker.
Sucker. He was just trying to be a pig farmer.
Yeah, he had no...
Doing his best.
He was just dumb as shit.
Dumb as shit.
I want to see a picture of this because I think I know who you're talking about. I can't... I'm trying to think if it's the same story that I read.
I was surprised they had the mother of the woman that was killed to have such a... such composure in those interviews. I'm like, you lost your daughter the most brutal way, but she's sitting there giving her talking head.
It was this lady, the fake pregnancy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She had maternity shoots. She had fucking everything. Well, that was how she met the lady, right?
Yeah.
Through maternity photographers.
Oh.
But she might have been scouting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are the
about
chances?
Who's due about when I'm supposed to be?
Yeah, but who? What are the chances that you're paternity fucking photographer is also pregnant?
Well, no,
met him through him.
Oh.
Or I think she was also the wedding photographer at their wedding.
Possibly, yes, correct.
Yeah, it was the town's so small, so like I just, if she finally just kind of connected with that and went for.
That's another stupid idea. Small town.
So crazy.
It's like there's only so many pregnant people.
Shannon, did you see they're doing a JonBenet Ramsey limited series?
No, but like, is there anything new or they're just like redoing it?
I think it's going to be like similar to the Monica Lewinsky one.
Oh, I see.
And the OJ one.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's Melissa McCarthy is going to be JonBenet's mom.
Who's playing JonBenet?
A young girl.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a dramatized.
Yeah.
Got and Clive Owen's going to be the dad. He was Bill Clinton in the Oval Office one, which was awesome.
That one I still haven't seen.
Melissa McCarthy being serious.
I think it's a great idea.
Fascinating.
Sometimes funny people being serious is the scariest thing.
Well, she's hit that age now where she has to play serious roles, like an older...
No, she could do both. She could, she's probably going to be stuck playing somebody's mom or grandma.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a good move to show she can act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I saw there's a documentary about JonBenet from like 2024, and I was like, I can't go down this rabbit hole again. And the question marks are pissing... They piss me off. I'm like, how do we not know?
They didn't want to know. I think the dad was... I don't know what happened, to be honest with you. I do think they were involved in some weird shit.
Yeah.
I think they might have been in some highfalutin society.
Like an Epstein society?
dark, dark, dark shit because
sacrificing the kid.
They said whatever was happening to that kid at home was not good. That I think she had like issues with going to the like bathroom issues that are like, and she was too old for them. And that's usually very
They should pee your pants or still in diapers.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And I think that's very indicative of like abuse in some cases. And so I have friends that got super into this and I've read books with them and stuff.
Okay.
The fact that the dad moved the body.
That's
is very sus to me. And I get it that it's your kid and you want to grab her. But, hey, the fact that they search, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So they search the house, said they couldn't find her. The cops come, and then the dad walks out from a room that they hadn't searched holding her. So he destroyed the crime scene.
Yeah. What a fucking, and this was back in the 90s.
Yeah, I went to school in Colorado. I went to Boulder, and her house was on the hill, and I always just felt really weird around it.
Is her house still on the market? I remember a few years back, they were saying nobody wanted to buy it.
I don't know the details, but
and it's a beautiful house.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But Boulder in general, it's not a pageant town. It's not anything like that. So the whole thing, once I got there and was physically there, I was like, this just all seems even weirder.
And then when you look at the dad's work history, there is like a lot of elite government contracts, including, I believe he did work adjacent with Halliburton.
Oh, this is getting good. That's so amazing. Are they covering when
some,
this?
I mean, the logical thing is the brother did it.
Okay.
But some people do think it was like a hit to tell the dad to straighten up and fly right.
Damn.
Sure, the mother probably wrote the note. It would a handwriting analysis would say the mom wrote most of the note.
Yeah.
Well, that also explains why we never find out what really happens if Halliburton was involved and he had all these contracts.
My friend Babette, who I talk about incessantly, is a true crime aficionado. And when I asked her about it, she very clearly was like, oh, it's the brother. Because what they don't talk about is in the autopsy, JonBenet was found with a bunch of pineapple like, as her last meal.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been at a party where there was not pineapple.
Yeah.
And there was pineapple in their fridge. So they think the brother took her downstairs for a snack and then they were doing something and she died.
What was the cause of her death again? The official.
I can't remember what is it a garret? It's like imagine taking a paintbrush with a rope on it and twisting it.
What?
So if you put a rope on like a stick,
yeah,
and every time you turn the rope around, it gets tighter.
She was strangled,
more or less. Yeah. But then there's also so they thought she had been tased because there were a little like prick marks on her.
Yeah,
but then apparently that matched a train set the brother had, so they think he might have been torturing her.
God.
Holy shit!
Brutal.
And how much money did he receive to do that from Halliburton? What was the...
I think there's a lot of possibilities.
Hmm.
I do think the parents definitely were aware of some nefarious things happening.
Yeah.
And were like, well, I don't want to lose both our kids.
I will say the fascination with this story is even more interesting than the story itself now because everyone knows who JonBenet Ramsey is.
Yeah.
And kids die all the time, not to get gruesome, but it's like our obsession with the story to like document it and tell stories. And now with this series coming out, it's like, what's up with us that we're so infatuated by this? Was it like the kid was beautiful and like
I think it is money the pageant and thing. I think it's seeing so many pictures of her all dressed up
right.
like that.
That drew us in a weird boo-boo. Fucked up. Yeah.
Well, it's the dichotomy of seeing her so done up and the darkness of it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I think it's also that she was pretty and blonde.
Yeah.
And that's what our society kind of.
That's what
fucking
the weird
Nancy Grace
out.
Played a huge part in that, blowing that shit up too.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with Casey Anthony. That would just be another mother who killed her kid. But because Nancy Grace had to get her fat fucking hooves involved and all that, it just blew the fucking case up a lot bigger than what it needed to be. Other than that, we wouldn't know who Casey Anthony is.
What do you guys think about this black kid that went out on the boat that didn't come back. Have you guys read about this yet?
No.
So I guess it's some party weekend, big college area, and boat goes out, four or five friends, all white guys, one black kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's found dead the next day.
Well, that's an easy.
Floating.
He went overboard. You know,
well, so they said that they all split up.
Yeah.
He didn't get him on the boat. Of course, now people are saying they killed him. But then you see the thing. It's one of these, there's like 40 boats there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was very common to get a ride there and get a ride back with someone else. And, you know, he could have met a chick and they're like, all right, we'll see you later. He could have got drunk and, you know, stayed on somebody else's boat. But it's looking a little. So I believe one of the kids' parents is a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's lawyered up already. So it looks like it's a scary situation.
Were they not friends prior?
No, they were all friends.
Well, yeah, I mean, dude, if you think about today's climate, 4 white dudes.
Yeah.
And 1 black guy, and he dies. You lawyer up immediately, no matter how guilty it makes you look.
He drowned, I'm guessing.
I believe, yes, he was found in the water. Shannon, can you help me out so that I don't fuck this up too bad?
Yeah, they are. Right now, they're saying that he drowned. They're saying they're not suspecting any foul play.
Oh, boy.
Right now.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, he got drunk. He fell over. Horrible situation.
But. No, but the media will fucking pin him as it was this big racist thing and that he was thrown in the water. I could already see what's going to happen. It's just going to be court of public opinion. These boys were racist. They did this on purpose. They're going to come out with some fucking post that they put out that didn't happen.
But we can track every text message ever sent. So as long as there's no
we could also make
foul
them up,
play
too.
In the text.
That's another thing. Like the one that they
text?
Made up about, what's his name? The one who just got stabbed by Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
They made up this post. Yeah. They're saying that there was this post like these monkeys are going to be shot at this track meet today. They never found the post, but they keep talking about one that's out there. So that's a little.
All right. So I've ever since he called Shane a Neanderthal, I've been obsessed with Dr. Umar. He's a black Israelite.
Yeah.
And dude, his take on the Austin Metcalf.
Oh,
thing,
it's probably wonderful.
Dude, he said that he fell on the knife.
Yeah.
He said that the kid took out the knife
and
that he tripped and fell on it. And that's what killed him.
Right at the 40-yard dash when the gun went off. He fucking tripped right there from the start. And just that knife went right into his stomach. Yeah, that's. I could see that happening.
I will watch Dr. Umar talk about anything.
Oh, I
want him to read Midnight Moon.
Yeah.
This guy rules. The mental gymnastics this man can do.
Yeah. I love watching anybody who's crazy like that. Those black Israelites, first of all, everything they say, null and void. But it is hilarious watching them make up theories about any fucking racial case at all. Like, I would love to see them comment on this one.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
What
happened?
When I used to work in Times Square selling tickets, I would see them set up. And I always thought it was funny because they had, like, young boys.
Yeah.
They had, like, assistants. They didn't get to wear the outfits yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be, like, making sandwiches and handing out, like, waters and stuff to the real ones.
It's a thing of honor.
It was like you had to, like, pay your dues to be a crazy person screaming in the street.
They had the young boys that would run their errands, wash their clothes, stuff like that.
They say that about the old Japanese wrestlers would have young boys.
Yeah.
They would literally, like, ash their cigar for them and shit. And one of my friend lines, like, if they had to take a shit, they would go take a shit for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did more than ash their cigar for them. They did something with their cigar.
Hey, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by our great friends at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. That's right. Stop going to smoke shops, bodegas, or gas stations and getting a little bit of Kratom at a time and you don't even know what's in there. When you go to YoKratom.com today, they have the best strains, the best customer service, and they're the marquee sponsor of everything we do here at Gas. If you don't use Kratom, don't start on my account. But if you use Kratom for one of its many, many benefits, there's only one place in the world, and there's no promo code needed. Why? It's already the best deal in the world of Kratom. $60 for a whole kilo delivered right to your gosh darn door. So check them out today, guys. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the program. All right, moving on. You know, I don't mean to make this another racial thing, but it is pretty funny. Did you guys see the picture of the one black woman on the train with all the National Front guys?
Yes, I did.
And do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So there's a photo that's kind of been publicized, and it was a bunch of the National Front masked, scary white supremacist looking dudes all on a train with one what they called a defiant black woman.
Defiant.
And sitting amongst them. Shannon, do you have that photo?
I was going to say.
Right there, sir.
Sorry, it's just the other one's on the other side because they took the other one down, so I'm using this one.
Yeah, so it's a train full of the scary, these guys dressed up. This one lady.
Where are they going?
D.C., wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a protest in D.C.
Oh.
During 4th of July. But
and they're talking about how this woman stood her ground. She said, wasn't scared, and God bless her.
Not one of them asked her to move her seat, though.
No, no. There was no violence. Nothing bad happened. That picture has just become... It was publicized as, like, a very, like, brave moment. So let's see her now that we found out who she is, Shannon.
Is she getting fucked right on the train?
No, she's shitting.
Oh.
She is a crazy...
In the same shirt.
This is a crazy homeless lady.
Yeah.
Who has no idea who's on the fucking train right there.
She just thought those were ghosts. Another hallucination of the week of just all
And she has been to jail for multiple, I believe, indecent exposures.
Of course.
And is genuinely a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I love the internet. I like that was not...
It took
no one was
less
like,
than a day.
Yeah.
It took less than a day to find her. And
defiantly
not only
shitting
that,
her
that
pants.
She's wearing the same shirt. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Defiantly shitting on the bus. Yep. I've never seen so much dignity in my life taking a shit.
We're so quick to apply meaning to these things.
Yeah, it's so
there's
stupid.
No meaning. Just move on.
And what about just like how a month ago, what was it? Yeah, about a month ago where the SPLC got caught funding that same organization that they're calling white supremacists. Like, how the fuck does anybody ever take those guys seriously and really think that that's a white supremacist America First group when the SPLC was caught funding them, the Klans, the Nazi lowrider, the Aryan Brotherhood? How's that not talked about? Do you know what
I
the
don't
story
know
I'm
about
talking?
Any of this.
Dude. The SPLC, that's the thing. How is this not a big story? And you know Southern Poverty Law Center. Have you heard of them before?
No.
Southern Poverty Law, they're always like sitting there pretending to fight racism and fight against any injustice that happens in the country to anybody of color.
And they fund these programs?
And they got caught funding these white supremacist groups.
Wow.
Saying that. Like, you know, they're funding them to commit these crimes, like in Charlottesville. That was all funded by the SPLC. That's why they were carrying tiki torches, and all the guys look gay. Because they're funding these particular groups to make it look like it's this big racial problem, and it's not.
Shadi, can you give us some confirmation on this? Because this is all new to me.
Dude, that's crazy how it's not a bigger story.
That's reminding me of, like, when I used to watch Food, Inc., and, like, the same companies that fund... Like Monsanto, like they'll turn around and fund like the FT. It's like all backwards. So
exactly.
I'm not surprised by that, but that is upsetting.
Well, that's also who like fucking owns that, like the jewels and shit like that. It's Philip Morris. They own a lot of like those vape companies because they saw that they're like, oh, we have to move on. But now the kids are smoking again. So that's fun.
If we can bring smoking back to movies.
Dude, look.
Nothing looks cooler.
Again.
Oh, everyone smokes now, too.
Nothing looks cooler on film than smoke.
It really does.
Yeah.
James Dean, who looked cooler than that?
It was the coolest thing. And then, they had a big thing in the 90s to eliminate cigarettes from movies.
Oh.
It was spearheaded by the guy who wrote Basic Instinct and Showgirls, Joe Esterhaus, because he got cancer. Well, he was one of the main proprietors of it. Because he got cancer, and he decided he wanted to eliminate cigarettes from movies.
Well, I'll be honest. When I was a smoker, like anytime I watched Goodfellas or Casino, I would chain smoke through the whole fucking movie just because it just makes you want a cigarette. It's such great propaganda. I would sit there and watch The Sopranos was another one. just one cigarette after another, and it looks so cool.
Sex in the City, they definitely ripped a lot of cigs on that.
Yeah. And what better, like, what was, like, the better signal that some lady was fucking crazy than if you caught her outside smoking and you strike up a conversation with her? That was the telltale sign, like, oh, this bitch is still smoking cigarettes. Like, I have to talk to her. Like, you just knew that that's the one you talked to.
I would say I get a similar feeling from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Makes me really want to make a phone call. And I think it's just the debauchery of it all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But yeah, that the little, the Tootski scene, the Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Having,
right there at the dinner table.
Right at the table,
at the
man.
Lunch table.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
There's something romanticized about self-destruction that I often want to lean into.
Because like, the cares? Lead up to being completely destroyed looks like it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It looks like such a party.
And then the rebuild is even beautiful. And then you're on the other side and it's like, okay, well, do it again.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. Like nobody cares about Conor McGregor this weekend. We want to see the party animal.
Isn't
fucking
he a
go
rapist?
Crazy. Yeah, some
supposedly.
Say that. Allegedly.
Supposedly, yeah.
Allegedly.
I mean, I saw like one TikTok about it, so what am I to, who am I to say? That happened with Cape Verde's captain as well. I was really rooting for Cape Verde in the World Cup because I watched them play Spain and they tied, so I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm going to follow this team. And then the goalie becomes a superstar of the cup. He goes from 20,000 followers to 27 million over the next 2 weeks. And then I go to watch the Argentina-Cape Verde game, and next thing I know, the New York Times is saying that he's an alleged rapist, the captain. And I'm like, well, I had a shirt and everything. Now it's just like, I might as well say rape Verde. I don't know what to do with this, but
he's
it's sad.
A rapist, that goalie?
No, no, not the goalie. Sorry, oh. I want to make sure that's clear. It's the captain of Cape
We'll just go
Cape
with
Verde.
The goalie's a rapist, too.
He's already got a man.
Yeah, it's it sad here. When those stories break out, because you're like, well, damn.
Also, that's we know that now, but then you never know what's going to, like, come. Like, and I do believe we should consider every accusation, everyone should be taken seriously and should be done respectfully. But also remember, when accusations like that come out, they're on the front page and the redactions are always on the back page.
That's true.
And how many people have you heard said about, and then if you find out, it didn't happen, but that story never comes out.
That's sad.
You know, the classic Duke LaCrosse.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a common turn of phrase when describing rapey college guys.
That's true.
To call them Duke LaCrosse.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, that's always the go-to. Like, if you see a group of white dudes in a fucking crowd that's acting obnoxiously, you just go, oh, Duke LaCrosse, and everybody kind of understands.
Well, and the whole culture in general. But, I mean, I do think they made bad choices that led them to that position, which is unfortunate. And, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't pay enough for the hooker to keep her mouth shut, that's for sure.
Right. That was, it's like, you still hired a hooker. Mistake. Sorry it went awry, but I think you learned your lessons.
If you think about it, if you just, like, if they pooled their money to, I don't know, like another $400, they would have gotten a hooker to expensive enough to say nothing. Like, to not be framed. Because that girl was just looking for a fucking case. Like, she was looking for money. You would have pooled your money and got an extra $400.
Yeah, that's, guys, another 20. Everybody, another 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's save ourselves a headache.
Exactly. Another 50. Just think about another $50 from each of those guys.
She's not, obviously, if you're going to make that up, you're not well. I mean, it's going to take a lot to keep that in.
I used to see those guys. One of them lives in Roseland, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a deli. And every time he walked in, even after he got acquitted,
you're
just like, oh, the fucking rapist. Like, it just always sticks.
It's sad that story is hard to shake.
Yeah, it's hard
to do.
The
trauma, that follows you forever. It's very sad.
It's sad on all, and I'm not, of course, trying to make excuses or in any way trying to lessen the actual crimes.
Totally.
Yeah.
But when you do hear about stuff like that, it does detract from the next person who did get hurt, really.
100%. And then also, have you been hearing about the case? It's called Love Trapped. It's a podcast series. And
no, please, tell us about it.
So Clayton Eckerd was The Bachelor years ago, but he didn't get a good edit. He came off as this asshole. Fast forward a few years later, he goes on a date with this woman. They hook up, but they don't have sex. And then later she claims that she's pregnant now. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a headline. He's, you know, dismissing it because he's like, well, we didn't have sex. This is absolutely insane. Turns out he gets a lawyer, and then they unkick this anthill where she's done this to multiple men. One guy went through 10 years of his life trying to, like, just get away from her. And she, her dad was a famous radio host in San Francisco. I'm blanking on his name right now, but so she had this huge backing of this, you know, huge family and money. And so she just tortured all these men for years with the same story of, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, it's twins. You're the father. You better step up.
Same story every time?
Every time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But again, since her dad was in such power, no one really could believe it. And it just kept getting swept under him until Clayton was like, this can't happen to me. And then again, it's still going on, actually. There was just a case on the 29th of June for it to kind of all be closed up and just put a bow on it. But she's still fighting these accusations. And so it's just been fascinating. But it does break my heart because she claims abortion happened. And just every touchy subject possible, she just blows the lid open on it and just taints it with just pure delusion and crazy. So it's a very, like, hot, touchy case.
And what's the name of that podcast?
It's called Love Trapped.
Cool. I'm going to check that out.
Wait, it's really a podcast?
Yeah, it's a 10-part series. I honestly would go to bed listening to it. I don't even listen to podcasts like that.
That's
like,
what you listen to go to bed?
Yeah, holy, I was so shit, sucked in. I mean, if I walk to work, I'm listening to it. If I walk somewhere else, I'm listening to it. If I get home, like, I'm in the shower with my phone on my toilet. Like, I was so sucked in this, yeah, because these men, they have Clayton on and then the other victims, and them telling the stories, oof, like, it was really fascinating just to, like, hear these men just be so, you're like, their trauma, like, comes through in their words, and you just feel for them. And the storytelling is really well done. The woman that runs it, she's a great journalist. So she's done such a great job of having this through line story and all these different key players that have been just annihilated in this. So
I hope one day there's and I don't think it'll ever happen, an in-depth documentary on. Do you remember, one of my favorite eras of television, I love Chan, and I both love trashy reality.
Oh.
It is my.
I'm obsessed.
Huge crush on Jerry from
Survivor. I just found Jay and Pamela last night. Have you seen that show?
Not yet.
Oh my God.
What
it's
is
not
that?
Trashy, but it's these two people with dwarfism.
I'm in.
One is trans.
And one's trans.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But it's a really...
In a little bow tie, yeah.
Yes, and it's honestly, like, I watched 3 episodes, and I'm almost in tears. Like, they're such beautiful humans, and they have such real family problems, and they're so in tune with their emotions.
Wait, one of these is trans?
Yes, Jay.
The bow tie.
Jay was born a woman. But their love is so beautiful, and...
Didn't he try to fuck his trainer, or, like, there was... I remember seeing that, like, one little snippet where he's actually trying to hit on the regular-sized trainer, and she gets upset.
Really? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Well, regardless...
God bless. That's a fucking
not
chick.
To pull... I want to hear no, about your trashy... But I'm, like...
So my favorite era of television was the VH1 Celebreality.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Rock of Love, Flavor of Love, all that shit.
Tequila.
Oh, man, what happened to that lady? Holy
deep
shit.
In, right? And my favorite was I Love Money.
Okay.
Which is they would take all the losers from the other shows and put them in a house and have them compete. So there was a show called Megan Wants a Millionaire. Megan was one of the girls that lost Rock of Love.
Okay.
She was also the girl that Sharon Osbourne fucking... Right? It was Megan the one that Sharon Osbourne fucking threw a drink on and fucking lumped up?
Yes, I'm 99% sure, yes.
Yeah, Sharon Osbourne. They did Bad Girls Club or whatever it was. Yeah. Not Bad Girls Club. Something. It was like a school, etiquette school for the girls, and Sharon Osbourne was a host, and she called Ozzy a drug addict, and Sharon Osbourne, daughter of a Jewish gangster.
Yeah.
That's who Sharon Osbourne
is.
Sharon Osbourne.
Her real last name is like Levy or some shit like that.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, I've seen this clip.
Should be allowed to breed, my dear. I think that one of of you is enough for any country.
So does your husband, because the only thing he's managed to do to the celebrity is to wash your husband's brain and turn into a vegetable.
I feel so sorry. Excuse me, before I answer.
Let's have like a professional acting.
Are you okay?
Yeah, let's have practice.
Sharon Osbourne was still cute in this
yeah,
era.
This is before her and Kelly looked terrifying.
Like the same person.
But also that's mourning, and I don't want to judge. So you forget Sharon's dad was like, scary. Like he was a record exec back when being a record exec meant you like hired thugs to go to people's houses and like you fucked people's lives up. And she stole Ozzy from her dad. And supposedly the story is her dad put a hit out on her.
Wow. Like, oh, that's amazing.
The kids didn't meet the grandpa till very late in their life when they made amends.
Wow.
But like apparently he had like put out like
to kill his own daughter.
To kill her.
That's
because
sick.
Ozzy was like his meal ticket.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She stole him.
Well, wow. He had ties to fucking Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah.
That was the big guy who he had ties to.
So you forget Sharon's a badass. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Megan. Megan had a show, Megan Wants a Millionaire. And then the guy who won that show was on, or maybe one of the finalists, was on what was going to be I Love Money 3. And then it never airs. I remember commercials for it. Mm-hmm. I remember being pumped for it because me and my friends had I Love Money finale parties for the first two seasons because we were all obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out the guy, and I think he won I Love Money, and that's when they couldn't show it. He then had a new stripper girlfriend and killed her and was on the lam, hung himself. But he was such a good killer. He took out her teeth and her fingertips.
Ew. Oh.
But he forgot that breast implants have serial numbers.
Oh God.
And that was how they
identified
her.
Caught?
And he hung himself in a hotel room. And to think that there's a whole season of him in a house with that about to happen.
And they never played it.
Lost media.
Son of a bitch.
Damn.
And I think that must be pretty. To watch that in retrospect.
Yeah.
Knowing this guy's about to mutilate a lady.
Yeah.
I bet you get a fucking hell of a documentary
I
out
do
of
want to. Yeah. I would love to see that entire season just going like, this guy killed some chick and forgot to move her tits.
Yep.
That would be fun.
I mean, lesson learned.
Yeah. I mean, but where do you stamp the fucking serial number on a breast implant?
Shannon?
How the fuck does that even stay intact?
Literally anywhere on it?
Yeah, it's a mark. Like
But I'm trying to figure out how the fuck is it on the fuck?
It's like imprinted on
it. It's imprinted on the breast implant.
Can we pull up a picture of a breast implant
it's
outside
a weird,
of a tit?
You can't picture this.
Help Doug out here.
Because I can't, like,
serial
Zach
number.
Even saying that breast implants have serial numbers is fucking insane to me. I would never think
they're
a breast
plastic
implant.
I mean, the plastic things have serial numbers. Sometimes. Right? Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Now your imagination doesn't have to.
Wow. I would never think to do that. That's good. That's a good tip.
Yeah, so now you know if you ever
kill a girl,
if you ever kill a girl with fake tits,
cut her tits off.
You gotta fucking grab those on your way out too.
That's
a great trophy regardless.
It is, yeah. Put that on your mantle with the fucking number, and then you play those numbers in the lotto the next day. See if you fucking win. That is fucking nuts. So does that also, I'm assuming that metal rods in your body have serial numbers as well, right?
I do think that's how one way to identify a body quickly is from if you have prosthetics in you.
Yeah, I would assume so.
And then I think also if they try and get rid of the body, those are the things hardest to get rid of.
They're never going away.
Yeah, that's
if you got like a metal hip or something.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a fucked up thought that if you bury a body, like let's say in a casket,
tits never fucking
at a funeral,
dissolve.
And then you picture the body decaying, and next thing, it's just skeleton and tit implants.
Well, don't they actually take those out in the funeral, like when they do the embalming? They actually cut the fake tits out?
I have no idea.
I always thought they did.
You don't have a lot of what's in you when you go in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that are like, literally like newspaper.
Okay.
When they do your autopsy, I don't think they even bother to put your organs back in the right order. Like, they just put them in a bag and throw them in you.
Like a giblet bag with a turkey. It's just,
they just
back
because they're yours, they put them back in you, but it's not like they're like resewing you organ by organ.
They leave the implants in. It's also going to like.
Do, huh?
Yeah. It's all because like nothing's going to happen. If it's like a pacemaker or something, they have to take that out because the battery could explode. But
who cares?
The battery. Bullshit. That's the hospital covering
their
fucking asses.
That is so weird
asses.
To think about a bunch of skeletons and tit implants and caskets.
You get some money for that pacemaker.
Bunch of hot skeletons.
Yeah. Like, who is this? Oh, Anna Nicole Smith.
A bunch of fat-titted skeletons.
Yeah. Damn. What a dark, weird
That's
thought.
Also crazy. Like, let's say you go to... you go to get rid of the body. You throw her, like, in the ocean, and the rest of her body sinks, and then the body rots, and the tit implant comes up and rises to the top, and then that's how you get caught by a floating tit implant that you thought was a jellyfish.
It's always going to be something... So, like, I was just rewatching Party Monster.
Yeah.
The book was previously called Disco Bloodbath. It's about a guy named Michael Alec. He was a party promoter. He wound up getting in a fight with his drug dealer and killing him. But he didn't get arrested for a long time because he killed a gay Puerto Rican guy in New York City in the 90s. And to be honest, the cops weren't really looking that hard.
Yeah.
And what he had done with them was they hit him with a hammer, injected him with Drano, chopped him up, put him in suitcases, and threw them in the Hudson. They bought cork-lined suitcases.
Oh, what an asshole. Oh, what a douche.
And the guy's name was Angel, and in the book they said the ultimate irony is that angels float.
Yeah. That's,
so,
wow, complete
he, for
douchebag.
Months, he, like, would go to parties with the word guilty written on his face.
And nobody gave a fuck.
And it was in, Michael Musto put it in, like, page 6, like, we know who did it. And he just, you know, there was no evidence. And then they realized they had the body for months and just never investigated.
Wow.
Because, you know, another dead Puerto Rican
drug dealer. Yeah. In the Hudson River.
And eventually had to like go to the police and be like, he's saying he did it.
And that's how they caught him, just because he said that he.
I think once they had the body, then they could go. Because I think without a body, there's not a crime.
No, I think that's all bullshit now. I think that's what Roy DeMeo thought, too.
Yeah.
That no body, no crime.
I think maybe back by those standards.
Yeah, maybe. Because I know that's not true anymore. No body, no crime. Because now you can get charged with murder even if they don't find a body. If they have, because now with forensic evidence, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think this might have been, this was like early 90s. So I want to say maybe... If there wasn't blood in the apartment, which I'm sure there was, they just didn't.
Oh, yeah. A hammer? That's so fucking messy. Jesus Christ. Why would just... I don't understand. In a tiny New York City apartment, use a fucking hammer.
I think they were in a fight. So Michael had gotten caught stealing drugs out of the drug dealer's stash. The drug dealer attacked him, and then Michael's roommate grabbed a hammer.
Ah, I see.
Which is their story, but the other story... is that we're gonna kill this guy and take everything.
Oh.
So some people do not quite know the order of events. I wouldn't know either, because when me and Ralph interviewed him, he wasn't in the mood to talk about it.
Oh, the only reason why you're here.
That was great.
Shannon,
were you
stories.
There that day?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, his publicist came in and she's like, you guys can ask him about anything except the murder.
Except
like, oh,
for the
great.
Reason why he's here.
Oh, great. Thanks.
The only reason we know his name.
He was out for a little while, but then he OD'd.
Oh, good. Good. And nature has its way.
Is it weird to sit with a murderer?
It wasn't awesome.
Okay.
It didn't feel... The thing was, his personality sucked.
Oh.
He was disappointing in multiple ways.
Oh, damn.
Usually
they're charismatic.
Yeah, I wanted him to be cooler.
Yeah.
He was definitely not quite, And it could be years of drugs. It also be years of prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was something not quite
right
in the room about him.
Mm.
And then he was very apparently a pathological liar.
Mm.
Because he invited us. He said he threw a party a few blocks away. And it's Tuesday nights. We get about 1,500 people. If you guys want, I'll give you a private table, bottle service, you know, free bottle mm-hmm. service. And, you know, that's my thank you for, you know, interviewing me. And we looked up the bar. It's at like 100 people.
Yeah.
And the parties had no one there.
Sounds like he was trying to kill you guys.
I think he was one of those people that if you believe your own bullshit.
Yeah, those are scary people.
Eventually people also believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't think of how many comics I could apply that to.
Yeah, or actors.
Thinking of a few.
Every actor, every fucking comic.
Like, think about and some of them are very successful now, but I can think of certain comics.
Yeah.
That would be like, I'm going on my first tour of America. It's sold out every night. And then you realize, like, half the shows are canceled.
Yeah.
Or there's, like, five people there. But because you see all those dates and then being like, yo, Cincinnati showed up, motherfucker,
yeah.
you know. And then, like, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's really doing good. But then people see that,
yeah.
and he manifests.
Right, because then people start booking him, like, oh, wow, like, you want to do my show? And then,
yeah.
like, and then it grows.
And then it manifests. Yeah. But in reality, it was all based on fucking nothing.
Yeah. Headline in my first Don't Tell. We all know that's 20 minutes. So.
Yep.
yeah. Wow, what a headlining fucking gig that was, huh?
Or, you know, oh, I just got off the road opening four, and it means they were on a showcase show.
Yeah. Just got done opening for Bill Burr. It was like you were just on the show.
But the thing is, anyone that's in the core of all of it does finally pick up on that. And sure, if they do make it eventually, but it's like the stink of that kind of stays on them, I think. So ultimately,
yeah, it does, but
it backfires.
It doesn't matter.
I can think of a few people that really rode it to the top.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Like, we could all think that, but... If they're up here and
yeah, I'm not and there's people that are never gonna, it's never gonna go back down for them to realize. Yeah.
Damn,
I can think of a few very famous people that I remember when they were like canceling half the tour and then posting about how it was sold out,
mm-hmm.
or you know, going to Europe and like they're supposed to be there for a month and they came back in a week.
Yeah, Europe was a blast. Love y'all.
Yep,
have me back anytime.
Yeah, we're. Killing it all over.
That's like everything, though. Like, I feel like if I see like a photo of a show, like once you're in the game long enough, you see like where they took the photo from,
killed
and
it in
like
Brussels.
How zoomed in it is, and then it's like if you're actually in these rooms half the time, you're like, there's two people in there.
Yes,
and like yeah.
All right, we have a couple more little things to look at real quick. We're almost out of here, though. I mean, this one is just fucking. Absolutely fucking psychopathic.
I love how the papers see through.
That is fun.
Relatives of 16 almost feral children found in Ohio House of Horrors. This
it's a good haunted
footage
house.
Is fucking shocking.
More shocking than the head rolling down the street.
It's not good.
I've been warned.
The head doesn't get me that much anymore. Ever since the episodes, like ever since the website's like chaotic. And
yeah,
stuff
we
like
gotta
that.
Realize
like,
we
ah.
this is what we did.
Well,
yeah.
Also, like in my brain, I'm like, that's not real. That's not real. That's not real. But like when I started
well,
like flip the switch, right? I was like, oh,
yeah.
But all right.
So the footage of this, I guess, is Shannon. Can you fill us in a little before we see anything?
Yeah, and the footage you're referring to, you mean like the news report, right?
It's the them opening the door on the kids, right?
No, that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no footage yet from inside the house at all. I spent hours this morning going through this story.
Okay.
So it's only about a week old. I can give you like a little rundown.
Yeah, give us a little rundown.
Okay, so the reason why they went to this house in the first place. Okay, so who lives in this house is like grandma, grandpa, their son, the son's wife, and 16 children.
Okay.
They said the 16 children were for a majority of the time. This is the claims is that for the majority of the time, the 16 kids were kept inside a 12x12 room that was covered in feces.
Oh.
There were flies and everything like that. The reason why they went to the house was because the son, who's like Gary Jr., the dad of all the kids, supposedly, the cops were going there to get him on 4 counts of indecent exposure.
Awesome.
So that's why they went to the house. And then they discovered, like they said, they described it as the kids looked like feral animals when they walked in. They're claiming, because the defense attorney is like fighting back on all this, of course, but they're claiming that the kids were ranged from 18 and down, and that some of them were nonverbal. Several of them had to be hospitalized. One of them had to be intubated. The 18-year-old is the oldest one, and they said the 18-year-old wasn't able to read or write. So whole bunch of stuff there. To go back a little bit, so the parents of these kids, supposedly, because they're not 100% sure if he's the dad of all the kids, but they got together when he was 18 and she was 15. Supposedly, her parents signed off on it, and then 2 months after they were married is when they had the first kid. And she has been basically pregnant every year since 2008.
Wow.
There was a pair of conjoined twins that were born amongst there. They died within a couple of hours of being born. They're, I believe, buried on the property. Let's see what else.
Dude, conjoined twins is fucking nuts.
Yeah. I always love when one gets married.
Have you seen the two girls that are at the head?
Oh, we discussed them quite a bit.
I used to watch that show, and I wonder where they are. All the time.
One of them got married,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, one of them's
right,
married.
But they're technically both married, right?
No, just one. The other one just got to sit there with her the nose in her body. Husband's asshole. She blows him. Fucking. That always shocked me.
That was crazy.
Yeah. One's married and the other one is not. And they're conjoined at the hip.
Right.
And I think they share ovaries.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's so, one she's talking about the joined at the head.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But then there's also the two-headed girl, like, who's more or less like their joint almost share a body, which is what Doug's thinking of.
Okay.
But then there's the worst. There was male conjoined twins who were connected at the abdomen and shared a bottom half.
Mm. Oh, they shared a dick.
And one of them was gay and one wasn't.
Oh, no. Oh, what? God. Come Jesus on. Christ.
I feel like there's...
Wow.
That's got to be a tough argument.
Yeah.
Wait, are we going to see a photo of these kids?
Wait, I want to hear more about these gay kids.
I don't know how much we have. I, for some reason, thought there was video.
I was prepared for the most gruesome thing
ever. Of them opening up a room, but I might have saw something else or something fake.
Yeah, no, there's, and even like the lawyer said, he hasn't seen or been inside the house yet. So, but I feel like a lot is going to come out.
This is going to be
like
a movie.
There's like pictures of outside. Here's one.
Yeah, let's see it.
It just kind of like decrepit outside. Mm-hmm. And then they show that there was like a bunch of like cats that were like going in and out of there.
Always fucking.
Oh,
cats.
I also have if you just give me a second, I can find it if you click away. But also one of the family.
Oh.
Thanks. One of the family members came out and said that the 18-year-old is can read and write, that the older kids have social media and post frequently on there. And then the wife's brother has come out and said that people in the town knew about it. They've put several reports in with like CPS about it and no one's done anything. And that they believe that she's like indoctrinated into the family somehow. And they're kind of like forcing her to do this because she was 15 when the whole thing started.
Gross.
Okay.
So she was just used as a breeder pretty much?
I don't know exactly. There were like four other siblings from these grandparents, and the rest of them are like living normal lives outside of the house. Whoa. It's just this one son that was like fucked up.
Mm. Huh.
This is like a Texas Chainsaw type.
Yeah, this is exactly
I do have like a short, it's very short because it's like within this like longer video.
Yeah.
But it's of when they were like putting in their pleas, the son and the grandfather.
Sure.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Here you go. Sorry, internet's being really stupid. 1 second.
It's time then, and you can confer with counsel. Okay? Mr. Siders, would you like me to enter a not guilty plea for you as well? Until you have the chance to speak with an attorney? I will do that.
So let's turn
just to get an idea of them.
He reminds me of like those hillbillies that are always on Soft White Underbelly.
Yeah, yeah.
The Whitakers or something.
The Whitakers, yeah.
That's all I pictured when she said one of them's nonverbal is that one barks and stuff like that. That's the only, and he looked just like one of the
fucking
guys.
Hills Have Eyes is based off of
The Whitakers?
No, the Sawney Bean clan. They were in, I believe, somewhere in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
This is disgusting.
They were cannibals that lived in caves, and it was like a big inbred family like that.
Ah.
Will we bring those photos back up, Shannon?
It's like Elizabeth Sliders or Siders.
Oh, yeah. No, that's straight up.
Yeah. Dude,
that dad is Whitakers. Like, that's some Whitaker shit. Yeah, that's some.
That's for sure. Where was this? Ohio, yeah. That's 100% like the Whitaker got, like, stuff. Look at his eye. I don't know what it is about inbreeding that makes your eyes cross-eyed, but.
All right. Well, we're going to keep our eye on that if there's any more developments. And we'll be back on Friday here on The Morning Zoo. Goodbye.
Bye. Bugs begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, chug it down. Just like your favorite Obese clown. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.